Welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Conversation Commentary. I'm Bob Thune. Usually I'm joined by my colleagues, Dusty White and Chris Hemmelman. But on this episode, I'm here alone, so I'm going to offer a little bit of commentary on something that happened recently that should grab your attention. This will probably be a little shorter episode. Oftentimes we're around 30 minutes. I imagine this one will be more like 15 or 20. And I want to remind you also that we're going to take some time off here at the end of June and beginning of July around the July 4th holiday. So there'll be a few weeks where you won't see a new episode come into your feed. Don't freak out. That's by design. We'll be back on July 10th with another new hot off the presses episode applying the gospel to the questions and issues of everyday life. So July 10th, we'll see you then for another episode. But this week, I wanted to talk about a headline that was reported in the Wall Street Journal just a few weeks ago that caught my attention and that I think should catch all of our attention. Sadly, the Wall Street Journal put the story behind a paywall. And so what I'm going to read to you from is the Australian broadcasting company who picked up this Wall Street Journal story and then sort of wrote their own piece on it. So this is from the Australian Broadcasting Company. It's posted on their website on May 21st of 2024. The headline reads this: Wiley's fake science scandal is just the latest chapter in a broader crisis of trust universities must address. Let me read you the first few paragraphs of this article. John Wiley & Sons is a publisher of academic journals. The company, better known as Wiley, is listed on the New York Stock Exchange and each year churns out more than 1,400 scientific and other publications across the world. Last year, it turned over more than $2 billion. I think turned over is an Australian way of saying they made that much money. The researchers who write for these journals and the academics who edit them do this work largely unpaid. They are subsidized by the same universities that also pay healthy sums to then buy the journals in question. The industry, estimated to be worth $45 billion, it's underpinned by giant licks of taxpayer money, including from Australia, which spends $2 billion a year on medical research alone. Last year, a strange thing happened at Wiley. In March, it revealed to the New York Stock Exchange a $9 million US dollar plunge in research revenue after being forced to pause the publication of so-called special issue journals. Its statement noted the program, which comprised some 250 journals, had been suspended temporarily due to the presence in certain special issues of compromised articles. Many of these suspect papers purported to be serious medical studies, including examinations of drug resistance in newborns with pneumonia and the value of MRI scans in the diagnosis of early liver disease. The journals involved included Disease Markers, Biomed Research International, and Computational Intelligence and Neuroscience. As the months ticked by, the number of papers being withdrawn mounted by the hundreds. By November, Wiley had retracted as many as 8,000 papers, telling Science it had identified hundreds of bad actors present in our portfolio. So let me summarize for you what's happening. The largest publisher of scientific journals in the world has acknowledged as many as 8,000 junk papers in its publication, such that they're pausing the publication of 19 different scientific journals because the problem is so bad. In the Wall Street Journal piece, which I was able to capture but can't read it right now because it's behind the paywall, in the Wall Street Journal piece, what they described was that there are businesses who, for a price, will list a scientist as the author of an entirely fabricated paper. And then this paper mill will submit the bogus paper to some journal and that journal will publish it. And then the researcher can claim publication. So basically what you're doing is, let's say you're a researcher and, man, you know how this works in the academic world. You know, it's publish or perish. You have to put forth primary research. You have to be publishing in order to get a degree or to get tenure. And so lots of these scientists will pay these companies to publish a paper with them as the lead author. The paper is entirely written by artificial intelligence. It's not even a real scientific study. It gets published in some journal that nobody reads. But then the publisher or the researcher can claim, hey, my paper was published in such and such journal. And of course, that's great for academic progress. If you've ever pulled up a professor's, you know, curriculum vitae, you know, they list all the publications of those professors. And so in this world, that's a very important thing to be doing. And there's a whole underbelly here of this happening so frequently that Wiley, the publisher of these journals, is pulling 19 journals entirely out of publication, just saying, we're not going to publish these journals anymore because this problem has been so bad. You heard in that Australian Broadcasting Company article, the mention of like studies like drug resistance in newborns and the value of MRI scans in the diagnosis of early liver disease. These are not unimportant topics. Like if you have a newborn, you might want to know about drug resistance, or if you have the possibility of liver disease, you might want to know, is an MRI going to be helpful? These are scientific papers that purport to put forward new research in these areas that are entirely fabricated. Now, when I saw this report in the Wall Street Journal, what it made me think of was going back a few years to COVID and to what we all heard repeatedly during COVID, which is, hey, we're just following the science. We're just trusting the science. Let's just trust the science. And that has become a mantra in our culture, right? Trust the science, follow the science. It's all about the science. The science with a capital S is what we can trust in. And what this makes me want to point out to thoughtful Christians is just to note that sometimes the capital S science is not actually scientific. Sometimes the science is a business in itself, is an institution in itself run by human beings who are fallible and fallen and who therefore have the potential for deception. The reason this is fairly straightforward and obvious, but here's why I want to point this out and why it's important for Christians to think about this. Because all of us have a, going back to our episode from a few weeks ago on making faith magnetic, you remember we talked about Dan Strange's five magnetic points that he puts forward, that every culture has these human longings that we're trying to lean into. And one of those is norm. Is there a way to live? What should define our existence? By what standard should we make decisions and choices in the world? And of course, the norm for many cultures and for many times in history was religion or Christianity or Islam or Buddhism. Some religious system became the norm or provided the norm by which I made decisions in the world. But in the modern world, that norm has become things like science or technology or expert opinion. And so we are more and more prone to invest these areas with full trust and as the norming norm for our decision-making. And in our culture especially, we see that when we strip away God, religion, Christianity, the Bible, but we can't lose because we're human beings, we still need some norm to appeal to. That norm for many people in our society is science, right? Here's what the science says. Now, science is a beautiful and good thing given to us by God. And in fact, the scientific method is possible because we live in a created world given to us by God that actually has patterns to it that we can learn and discern. When God said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, he meant split the atom. He meant track the human genome. He meant, you know, do everything that scientific inquiry allows us to do to learn and to explore and to make discoveries about the world. But what's increasingly happened is that capital S science has become our highest authority, our God, if you will, in many ways. And so when we're seeking to appeal to a higher authority, think about this. When you're seeking to get somebody to do something, let's draw the clock back 500 years, all right? We're in the Middle Ages or in the early Renaissance, and we're trying to get people to, you know, make a decision together in society. At that time in history, people might say, why should we do this? Because God says so, because the Bible says so, because the church says so. You've heard these critiques that one of the critiques of religion is, you know, well, it's just an appeal to authority, right? Well, of course, every culture, every person appeals to various authorities. And so 500 years ago, that authority might have been the church, the Bible, Christianity, God. But increasingly, if you asked your neighbor across the street, why should I do X? The authority they're going to appeal to might be science. Why should I wear a mask on public transit? Or why should I avoid gathering in large crowds with people? These are two examples from COVID. We were told the answer is the science. Now, again, without taking sides on that question or even negating the fact that science might have told us some things about that, what I'm pointing to is that the authority in these examples was the science says so. Science shows, science proves, science says that this is the right decision. One of the things I pointed out in one of these podcasts back during that era was that science was being invested with moral authority. In other words, the science can tell you, hey, in a crowded space, you're better off to wear a mask because you'll have less likelihood of catching a communicable virus that travels through the air. That's common sense. What that can't tell us is, should churches require everybody to wear a mask in a public worship service? Like, that one is a scientific question, but one is a ethical, moral question. And what I longed for was just to keep those categories separate, was just to say, here's what science says, but then when we prescribe something, when we say, here's what our practice is going to be, what we need to lean into is just the freedom of moral authority. Hey, we're making that decision as pastors of a local church because that's the authority God's given us. And so here's what we're going to ask. Rather than trying to background it in the science says or the science proves or the science dictates. And yet, because we don't in our culture have an agreed upon higher authority, capital S science has increasingly become that. And so what's interesting to me in reading this Wall Street Journal piece is just to note that there's a crisis of trust when the scientific peer-reviewed journals that our scientists are reading and pointing to establish verifiable scientific observations are themselves fabricated studies. In fact, such a deep problem with fabrication of studies that whole journals are getting shut down. Now, again, does this mean that every deliverance of science is untrustworthy? Of course not. And I'm sure there are people on the internet who will use this as the next conspiracy theory of why we can't trust any peer-reviewed scientific journal. That is not what this podcast is doing. Do not mishear what I am accomplishing here. All I am trying to help Christians see is that the appeal to authority is a natural human appeal, and that it is not, in fact, true that science is a better authority to appeal to, or a more infallible authority to appeal to, than theology or the Bible. In fact, what this study reminds us of is that, like any human enterprise, science is fraught with fallibility because it involves human beings, and human beings are sinners and capable of fraud, deception, and abuse. And so we ought to remember, as we live life in the world, that God, our Creator, is the only trustworthy, true, sinless authority. And that every other institution under the sun, be it the church or the scientific community, is going to be fraught with fallibility. We should also allow this then, as we hear appeals to the authority of science or technology in the world around us, we should allow this as Christians to invite us to keep critical distance and to ask critical questions. We want to be people who think with wisdom according to the scriptures. That does not mean negating or avoiding what science shows us, but neither does it mean because someone appeals to the science, that appeal is beyond debate, beyond discussion, or beyond question. So as Christians, we ought to let this finding remind us of the importance of some authority or authorities in our lives. It is true that we need authoritative sources of truth. And it's also important to remember that there are no authoritative, infallible sources of truth other than the revelation of God in nature and in scripture. And our tools for gathering that revelation sometimes are flawed and faulty, and our hearts as human beings are also fallible. and foolish. So I hope this helps you step back for a minute. And again, without becoming a conspiracy theorist or becoming a science skeptic, does allow you to see the fallible nature of human authority and the importance of understanding appeals to authority for what they are. This can be a good opportunity for Christians to push back on some of the authorities that are often held up in our culture as beyond question, and to realize they're not really beyond question. Whatever these 8,000 studies are that were pulled by Wiley, I'm sure at least one of those was quoted by someone somewhere as an authoritative source. In fact, I'm sure that many of these were quoted as authoritative sources for various research deliverances. And it's a good reminder that not all the things we quote as authoritative and true will be verified in time to be authoritative and true. And so good news for us that we trust in a God who does exist, and that we have the scriptures that have delivered to us his revelation, and that we have things like science, his general revelation tools by which he has revealed himself in the world. And yet it's important for us to remember that those who use those tools are not always using them with integrity. The goal of this podcast, as we always say, is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or a church leader in another context, thank you for listening in. We pray that this conversation might be helpful to you as you minister in your context. We always love to hear from listeners. So if you have thoughts, if you have questions, if you have future podcast topics, if you have interesting articles you read in the Wall Street Journal that you think we should talk about, feel free to send them our way, podcast@cbomaha.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time for another episode of the Wednesday Conversation.